for announcements today, we have an admin council meeting right after the services today. And next Sunday is going to be our birthday and anniversary celebration Sunday with the cookies, the cakes, and the ice cream. And it's also Communion Sunday. I think that's all I have. Anybody have anything else?
I always have something.
That's good.
If you have nothing to do today, the Babahatchee Band is having a concert at the Rome College at 3 o'clock in the theater. So come join us.
Okay. Good morning.
Please stand and join me as we sing the call to worship, which is Come Christians Join to Sing.
Heavenly Father, as we gather in your name, we humbly seek your divine guidance during this worship service. Be the beacon that illuminates our path. Be the compass that directs our hearts. And be the wisdom that guides our thoughts. May your presence be felt in every word spoken and in every note sung. We trust your infinite wisdom and pray for your guidance to lead us down the righteous path. May your light shine upon us, O Lord, as we navigate the challenges of life. Grant us the clarity of vision to see your will and also the strength to follow it. And in these things, in your holy name, we offer with our gratitude and we say, Amen.
Our first hymn is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Children of God, what has God done for you? Consider and remember, in the joyful times and in the sorrowful times, what has God done for you? When you have been like the fig tree in Jesus' story that seems unable to produce and that everyone has given up on, what has God done for you? Children of God, come. Let us worship God who never gives up on us. Thank you. today I guess we have one joy, is that Larry's knee surgery went okay. However, he was in a little bit of pain yesterday, and he's recovering. So let's pray for Larry as he recovers from his knee surgery. I'd also like to ask us to pray. I'm afraid I don't have his name, but there was a five-year-old boy who in the last couple of days was hiking in Cage Cove, and he fell from one of the covered footbridges, hit his head on a rock, and he's got some pretty serious brain injuries right now. So I'd like to ask us to pray for him. I'm sure he could use the prayers very much so. We always pray during the week for all the people who were involved with any of the disasters and the calamities. But each week I try to pick out one particular area. This week I want to pick out those missing children, the missing elderly people. We have our Amber Alerts. We have our Silver Alerts. We need to pray for all of these missing people. And I don't want to also forget, it's not normally considered in this category, but all the people who have recently passed and who are being missed and who are missing from everybody's lives, everybody's loved ones, everybody's friends. So please, keep those in your prayers for this coming week. And just remember them and don't forget them. Does anybody have anything else? Okay. Dearest Heavenly Father, we gather in your name, seeking your blessings upon this assembly. May your divine presence fill this place, and may your grace flow abundantly among us. We ask for your blessings on each person here, for their joys and also for their struggles. Bless our time together, that it may be a source of inspiration, growth, and renewal. Lord, pour out your favor on this church service, that it may be a wellspring of spiritual nourishment for our souls. We thank you for your blessings, both known and unknown, and we pray for your continual help and guidance. We pray and we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's now time for our tithes and offerings. Faithful God, our guide and our sustainer, as we offer these gifts to you, may they bear fruit for your kingdom. In this solemn season of Lent, may we remember your call to repentance and renewal. Help us tend the soil of our hearts so that we may grow in faith and bear witness to your grace. Use these offerings to bring hope to those in need and light to those in darkness. May we live as your fruitful servants, trusting in your abounding mercy. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who calls us to new life, we pray and say, Amen. Thank you. Today's scripture reading is Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. And the title is, O God, Eagerly I Seek You. O God, You are my God. I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon You in a sanctuary, beholding Your power and Your glory. Because Your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise You. So I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on Your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises You with joyful lips when I think of You on my bed and meditate on You in the watches of the night. For You have been my help, and in the shadow of Your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we'll start this week with a word that happened to have been in the scripture, and it's going to be a key part of today, and it's the word cling. To what do you cling? And that might be the question that we have for our worship this week. So I don't know about you, but perhaps your first reaction is, no, I don't cling. You know, clingy, that's not a good word. It's not a good adjective for the people. So we say, let's move on to something else. But now, wait a minute, do we really want to wait and move on? You know, maybe you sang this, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Or maybe I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So then let's ask again, to what do we cling? The opportunity for worship this week is to offer strong support for the living in and of these days. It's to provide foundational faith that grounds the community in the real world and yet lifts vision to a larger truth. We need reminders of the ground upon which we stand, or to the one to whom we cling. Now, the psalm invites us to thirst for God, to hunger for God's presence in our daily lives, both the low moments as well as the high ones, and especially throughout daily life. We need to cultivate an awareness of God as we worship, so that when we spend time, or when we are apart from the community, we still have that sense of not being alone. We still have a sense of belonging. Now, when we sing, our singing can express that reaching, that hungering for a glimpse of God's presence. We can sing of the desire to have something to cling to, and also the promise to do as much as we are able, and then rely on the community that surrounds us to help us with our problems. So let our prayers be an invitation to see the resource that fills the pews around us. We can give thanks for one another and for the witness and the willingness to be the body that encourages and mentors and challenges and holds all of us accountable. We can celebrate and petition at the same time. The Christ we cling to often can be found in the people that surround us. The faith we cling to can be seen in the relationships of our faith. we don't cling to abstract ideas, but we cling to real incarnations lived before us. Now, today's message revolves around the story of a man who we'll call John. I'm going to call John, and his aged mother, who is in an assisted living or some other facility. So John went to visit his mom. He lives out of state, a couple of states away. And the first day that John spent with his mom turned out to be his best day. It wasn't what he would call a good day, but it was the best he got in those few days that he was able to make the trip down to visit with her. She wasn't terribly responsive, but at least she seemed to allow his presence with her. She let him feed her lunch, and she let him sit with her for a while that day. So he asked her if she wanted him to read to her, and he thinks that she said yes. Well, he read to her anyway, and she seemed to listen to him somewhat. He read through three chapters of The Harvester by Gene Stratton Porter. He grabbed the well-worn copy sitting on a table in her room, and he read her the story that she once knew by heart. They slipped into another world, John and his mother, by themselves, together. They shared a simpler time, a quieter time, you know, a time when they remembered, or he remembered, their living in rural Indiana over a century ago, when things were simpler and gentler, things were easier. John liked it there, he had to admit. Now, on the other days that John was there to visit, he kept asking his mom if he could read to her, but she wouldn't let him. He kept reading that first and only time, even though there was too much activity going on outside of her room. John wanted to close the door, but also he didn't want to interrupt the cadence of his voice that seemed to be soothing his mom. So he kept reading as nurses and aides and curious other residents of the memory care ward wandered in and out of the room across the hall. He kept reading about a world of love and hope and despair. And as he did this, two strangers disappeared into the room across the hall, and they closed the door. John kept reading about a world insulated from the heartaches of today, yet full of its own tragedy, as the door across the hall opened and the two strangers wheeled out a gurney with the all-too-familiar zippered bag discreetly covered with a sheet down the hall and out through the locked door that was the entrance to the ward. When his mom fell asleep, he asked that she be put to bed for a nap before he left to check on his dad back at the house. But before he left, John stepped into that room across the hall. It was Winnie, or Miss Winnie, as she was known there in Tennessee. He stood in the room, now emptied of her presence, and he prayed for her and for her family, and for all the other residents who most likely wouldn't know what had happened. It was daytime. It was mid-afternoon as he prayed in that room. Yet it felt like it was night, when the questions come and the doubts rise up. It felt like night when our failures seem too heavy to hear and our losses like wounds in and of our and to our souls. Now, John hadn't eaten all day because he was worried about his mom, but the hunger in his heart was for much more than food. Psalm 63 carries a superscription, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, given that David spent a lot of time in the wilderness, we really can't know what time is being referred to. We don't know for sure what was going on, but we do know of a couple of times when David fled to the wilderness of Judah in particular. The first was when he was young and somehow fell into and then out of favor in the palace. He sang soothing songs to calm King Saul's moods, but then he had to run for his life from the king, who wanted him dead. He was in the wilderness. He was running for his life. Later, as he was king, David fled into the wilderness when his son Absalom attempted an insurrection. He wanted to be king in his father's place. And David fled again for protection while his generals sorted out this battle. Then he wept for his son, who wanted him dead. It was not a happy place, the wilderness, not for David, not for kings, not for fathers, nor for sons. And yet, let's look at this wilderness thing again. Yes, there is hunger and there is thirst. There's a longing for the presence that is as real as the longing for food and for water. In the wilderness, you'd think that the first thing on the list would be physical sustenance, food and drink. But no, the deeper hunger, the more powerful thirst is for God. David is fainting for God's presence, driven to see not his own safety, nor his own revival, but he was driven to see the face of God. And David says, "O God, you are my God, and I seek you." Underneath it all, and I think this is an amazing part of it, underneath it all is the need. Underneath the hunger and the thirst, underneath all this wandering in the wilderness, there is confidence and there is certainty. "I have looked upon you in a sanctuary," says David. "I have, not I will, or I want to, or please let me." He says, "I have. You have been my help." There's a memory here that is sustaining. And that's what David's doing in the watches of the night. He's not despairing. He's not doubting and fearing. And he's not letting the wilderness swallow him up. No, he is remembering. "I will meditate on you. I will meditate on you in the watches in the night." Now, here's a question. How do you meditate? Isn't that some kind of Eastern mysticism? Some kind of foreign practice that's not a part of our religious tradition? Doesn't it involve nonsense words and uncomfortable positions and chanting monotones and smoke? Oh yes, lots of smoke, incense. But by no means is that true, as St. Paul would say. "I will meditate on you in the watches of the night." And what does that mean? That means finding a memory, a word, a verse from the Bible, or even better yet, a moment of joy or a moment of hope. And this could be a moment of encounter. It could be a moment of intimacy and healing. It could be a moment of shared love and of closeness and of holding this closeness like a jewel in your mind. Now, that means looking at this moment. That means remembering it from every angle. It means letting the light of understanding shine through it, sparkling with presence and with comfort. I will meditate on you in the watches of the night. I will remember the moments when you felt close, when we were one. Now, in the darkness of this wilderness time, I will let that moment fill me with love and with joy, because that moment defines me more than this moment. That togetherness, that union, that is where I reside, even though right now I am alone and I'm in the dark. I will meditate on you in watches of the night. Suddenly, the darkness is not the absence of God, but it's the shadow of God's healing wings. Suddenly, the darkness is not a place for whispers and for tears, but it's a time for singing and joy. The darkness is not a place of hunger, but a place of feasting. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast because I remember that I was meditating on a moment. I was meditating on the word that meant something at one time. I was meditating on a word that spoke to me, a word perhaps from another person of importance to me, but it was a word that survived the wilderness. Now, isn't this something each of us has to do? This meditating, this remembering, as well as this feasting and this rejoicing. Now, I'm the one who needs to bring and cling to God, right? I mean, that's part of my thing. Well, right, yes it is. It's part of my thing. But my experience of God is always plural, always. We're Trinitarian. We experience God as community. We experience God as the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer, or more commonly, Father, Son, and Spirit in more traditional terms. God to us is always plural. There is always community. Now, my experience of God is always shaped by the community in which I live in and in which I grew. I know God because of all of you. I know God because I love you and you love me. I can have an inkling of what it is to be loved by God because of this. Because of the experience I've had with you and those who came before you, I can remember God in the watches of the night. Part of what I remember is not just God, but the God in you. The God that I know is in you, in each and every one of you. And your love, and your support, and your care, and your corrections, you, all of you. So now, let's go back to John and his mom. Now, she, his mom, was a part of his you. It was not a good day, but it was the best day that they had in their time together. The other days were far more distant, more agitated, and more lost. But on that day, there was a glimpse. It was fleeting, but it was a glimpse. Now, John was wheeling her past somebody in the common room, and she reached out and she said, "How are you doing today?" And for this moment, she sounded like his mom again, caring for another, loving, and welcoming another person. It wasn't him she was speaking to, but it was his mom for a moment. But unfortunately, just for a fleeting moment. They got to her place at the table, and he wheeled her around to her tray. He put the napkin on her neck, and he sat beside her with a fork to feed her with. As he was feeding her, she looked at him and said, "Do I know you?" And he replied, "Yes, Mom, you do know me, and I'll remember for you. I'll remember us. And together, we'll live in the memory of God and in the watches of the night. Together, we will sing for joy for what was and what will be. In the remembering, we are tending the tree so that we can produce more fruit. We are remembering what it is that we cling to. We're remembering the lights of the home, and we're learning to live as though it might be our last days." Now, Jesus does not call us to fatalism, but to a way of clinging to life, the full life, the fruitful life. We're not waiting for a proper time, because now is the proper time. We are not waiting for our particular season or the right season, because this now is our season. Even in the darkness of night, this is our season. It's our season to live and to remember and to always live by. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand as we sing Seek Ye First.
God bless you with the hope to cling to God, knowing that in the highs and in the lows, in the joys and in the sorrows, and in the knowns and in the unknowns of this life, God's love will never fail you. Thanks be to God, and now go in peace. Amen.